If you keep your Bibles open in front of you, if you have them there, I want this morning to turn our attention to this passage that I've just read. We're looking ahead to the sacrament of baptism this morning. And so we come to this passage that is perhaps familiar to many of you. This conversion of a jailer in the city of Philippi. I want to look at this account under the title, A Great Deliverance. A Great Deliverance. Paul and Silas, along with Luke, who recorded these events, and some others, have traveled from one side of the Aegean Sea over to the other, into this new territory, and they've come to the city of Philippi. Paul would later on write a letter to the church that he established here in this city. And Philippi as a city itself, it held a very special, privileged position. It was known as a Roman colony. That means that the citizens of this city had the same rights as the citizens of Rome. And that was a very special thing. That was a unique thing. So Philippi was an important city. But it's in chapter 16 that we have something even more wonderful. We have a series of conversions. Earlier on in chapter 16, from verse 11 down to verse 15, we can read about a lady called Lydia. She was sitting beside a river. And at the riverside, Paul was able to speak to her, and we're told that the Lord opened her heart. We read of a slave girl, and she was under the control or the constraints of a tormenting spirit. She was in chains, not just physically because she was a slave, but spiritually. And yet, through Paul and Silas, her chains are broken. She's brought to saving faith. And then we have this jailer in dramatic circumstances in the midst of an earthquake coming to saving faith. All of these accounts show us the work of salvation. The outward experiences may all be different, but the inner working of God's grace is the same. It's the same Spirit of God that renews each one of their hearts. It's the same saving relationship in Jesus Christ that has brought them into salvation. Each one comes to the place of faith and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. This morning we want to focus our thoughts on the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Here we have a great deliverance. I want us to notice firstly a great darkness. There's a great darkness. Now we could consider the difficulties that Paul and Silas are in. They've been thrown into prison. In fact, we are told that they're put into the inner cell. And their feet have been fastened in stocks, a very uncomfortable position where they are left sitting. And their feet are through this big wooden latch that closes down over their feet. Or it may have been strong chains to hold them in place. But they can't move. And they have to sit there in the pitch dark. We know it was dark because it was midnight. And we know it was dark because later on the jailer would call for lights to be brought in so that he could see what was going on. And Paul and Silas would have been in pain. Massive discomfort. Just that day they'd been beaten with rods publicly. Their clothes had been torn from them. They're sitting here bruised and broken and bleeding. We're not told much about the suffering that they were enduring. But no doubt they were enduring physical suffering. Outwardly, they were in pain. And yet we're told that it's about midnight So obviously they're not sleeping. And they're singing. They're praying. In fact, the word that's used is they were continually praising God. The other prisoners who also would have been crammed into the inner cell. At nighttime, the jailer would have put everybody into the safest place possible for him. And that would have been the inner cell together. So whatever number of prisoners there were, all crammed in into the inner cell. Uncomfortable and dark. It would have been terrifying. But their circumstances, their outward circumstances, aren't worth comparing to the man who was on the other side of the prison, the jailer. We're told that an earthquake struck and the doors of the prison fling open, the chains fall off the prisoners. This clearly is an act of God. And when the jailer wakes up, or when he's disturbed by this earthquake, we're told that he rushes in. He sees all the doors of the prison are open. He fears the worst. He fears that all the prisoners have escaped. Most likely this jailer was a public slave. He could have been a retired Roman soldier. But Pliny, who was a Roman historian at the time, he tells us that many of these jailers were public slaves, and so they were put in charge. Pliny has very unpleasant things to say about jailers, those in charge of the prisons, uncompassionate men, cruel men. And so possibly this jailer was just like that. But now he's brought to a place of fear. Why? Here's a man whose life could now be taken from him. If the prisoners have escaped, the punishment that would be due to this public slave would be crucifixion. If he was a public slave. If he had been a Roman soldier, it would have been execution, but not by crucifixion. And so he fears the worst. Here is a man whose life is in peril. His life is literally hanging by a thread. And in his mind, he's rushing through the most unthinkable things that are going to happen to him. Here is a man in desperation. Here is a man in real need because of the danger that waits ahead. And he responds to that fear with hopelessness. Where Paul and Silas are in the prison, in their circumstances, they are praising and rejoicing. They're giving thanks to God. This man fears the worst, and so he takes out his sword and he's ready to fall on it. He responds with hopelessness. He's ready to kill himself, to commit suicide. I want to just very briefly give an aside on suicide for the moment. We know that people can reach depths that they feel it's the only option. That's what this man is experiencing. We know there can be depression and darkness. People can pass through valleys of shadow. And that can be true even for Christians. That they can feel that this is the only option. Suicide doesn't remove the gift of salvation that God gives to his children. But what I want you to notice is the difference with how Paul and Silas face their difficulties compared to others. You see, when we take our eyes off Christ, although he never takes his eyes off us, when we are brought to despair without looking to God and focusing on his plans and purposes, as we'll see in a moment, then we can be brought to this place. Paul and Silas, they can face their difficulties and they're ready to turn everything over to God and they rejoice. Now, this man obviously isn't a believer at this stage. And so he's brought to this place where he feels this is the only option. As difficult as his circumstances are, this man, however, is in greater danger. And that greater danger isn't the outward circumstances that he's facing. But that greater danger is his soul. And throughout the book of Acts, that's what we're being told. We're being told that the greatest danger of every human being, every man, woman, and child, is not the outer circumstances, but the fact that we are rebellious before God. That we have hearts that need changed. That we have sin that needs forgiven. The greatest danger for this man isn't the judgment that might come from the Romans, but it's the eternal judgment that comes from a holy and just God. You see, we are all guilty. We all deserve the judgment of God. We all deserve the punishment for our sin. We deserve to pay the price ourselves. Paul says in Romans that the wages of sin is death. I wonder if you've ever done a day's work for someone and they never paid you for it. How do you feel? If you've worked really, really hard and you've not received what was due, we're annoyed. We're frustrated. I deserve that. I deserve to be paid. Well, that's what Paul is saying. The wages of sin is death. You deserve the payment. You deserve God to give you everything that you've worked for. And that is his judgment. Eternal death. Hell. That is what we deserve. That is what we work for. The wages of sin is death. That's what this man deserves. There's no escaping this reality. Perhaps today you feel as though you're in a shadow. You've concerns, worries, family pressures, health, money issues, work issues or situations. The pressures just seem to be piling up. It just seems to be like a great darkness. Well, here we are being told that those outward circumstances are not your greatest danger, but it's the issues of the heart. I'm not minimizing the pressures that might be piling up on you and that shadow that's cast over you. But outside of Jesus Christ, this is the greatest danger. It's the peril that you're in. We deserve the wrath of Almighty God. There's great darkness. But there's also great hope in this passage. Paul and Silas, as we saw, have responded to their circumstances with singing and praying. They're in difficult circumstances. They're in darkness. And yet their response is so different. They find comfort. They've found contentment. We move quickly from their contentment and peace to the turmoil that's unfolding in the heart and the mind of the jailer. Now, for the jailer, he would be well aware of why Paul and Silas are in prison. Their crimes would have been noted down in the prison ledger book before they were put into the prison. And also, he would have heard them. This singing, this praying, there was something different about Paul and Silas. They clearly stood out from the other prisoners. The other prisoners certainly noticed the difference. This jailer noticed the difference. Paul would later write to the new church in Philippi in this city, and he would be writing concerning another imprisonment that he would face. And he would say that what has happened to him has really served to advance the gospel, so that it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. You see, Paul knew that his circumstances, his difficulties, they were under God's control. They were part of God's plan and purpose. And that God was using even the hardest of circumstances to advance the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Paul and Silas here are content in their difficulties because they know God has a purpose. God has a plan. God is in control. And God is using these things to advance or to move forward to spread out the good news of Jesus Christ. I think perhaps at times maybe we need to view our own personal circumstances and challenges and difficulties the way Paul and Silas do. We are to know God is in control. He has a plan and a purpose. And even these circumstances, and perhaps even particularly these difficult circumstances, God is using to advance his kingdom. The first glimmer of hope for the jailer is found in Paul and Silas, the witness that's before him, the life of these men, the voice of these men. And then there's a glimmer of hope in Paul's words. We are all here. This man's about to kill himself, and yet Paul speaks and says, "Stop! Don't do it. We're all here. No prisoners have escaped. This man's life is now intact. If anything, he will probably deserve a commendation from the magistrates. Because even in the midst of an earthquake, it wasn't as bad as he feared anyhow. No prisoners had escaped. All is okay. This man should now be rejoicing, we would think. His circumstances have changed. His circumstances look so much brighter. That is, the outward circumstances. And so there must be a glimmer of hope in the change of circumstances. But no, that's not the glimmer of hope. It comes in his question to Paul. Because this man is even more troubled. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He looks inward. He sees his greater need. And this is a glimmer of hope. He sees need. He knows that he needs salvation. And that must mean that there must be a way to experience and to be saved. There's a glimmer of hope because there must be salvation somewhere. I know I am in need. I know I am guilty. I know I deserve punishment. But there must be a way to be saved. Can you see the glimmer of hope? And maybe for you, you've asked yourself that most important question. There is no other question that is more important than that. How can I be saved? But in knowing that you need to be saved, there's a glimmer of hope there. There's a glimmer of hope because you've realized who you are. Guilty before God. In need of salvation. There's a hope that we are to be looking to in the midst of all of your circumstances. Do you know that there's the terrifying reality of eternity? And we deserve punishment. We deserve greater judgment than what any Roman authority could ever hand out. And so this man offers up a cry for salvation. A question that we must all ask. Here is a glimmer of hope for you this morning. There is a question that you can ask. What must I do to be saved? And that brings us, thirdly and lastly, to the great deliverance. The great deliverance in Christ Jesus. This jailer, if we were to look at him outwardly, we would probably say, he doesn't deserve to be saved. This man, I can't picture him as a Christian. Part of the church? As I said, Philo, that Roman author and historian who wrote an encyclopedia of history for Rome, he really did describe these jailers as scum of the earth. We would look on him and say, definitely not him. How could this man be changed? And yet, what happens? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And this man is delivered. This man is brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. This man is changed as God works graciously in his life. And friends, it's a wonderful thing. You see, the way to be saved, it's not through anything that we must do. We could look at this man's question and say he actually asked it wrong. What must I do to be saved? Well, friend, there's nothing you can do. No amount of works of yours will ever save you. No amount of being good, trying to outweigh the bad things that you do with the good things. No amount of church going will save you. No amount of paying money into a church. Not even being baptized will save you. No. Salvation is found not in what we do, but in what Christ Jesus has done. He paid the price. He suffered and died on the cross. That's why Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal one who came down to earth, who lived the perfect life that we can't live, who never disobeyed, the one who was fully God and also fully man. And yet he's also the one who then paid the price that we deserve. He underwent the judgment that we deserve there on the cross. He took the full wrath of God the Father in those hours of darkness. He took the punishment for you. It's what he has done. Paul calls him the Lord Jesus, because he's the one who defeated sin and death. He's the one who rose again from the dead. He's the one who showed that all the punishment is taken because he is alive. And in this Jesus, we have forgiveness. We have the judgment taken. In this Jesus, we have life. In the Lord Jesus, we look ahead to spending eternity with him in the new heavens and the new earth. Friends, this is the great deliverance. And it's found only in Jesus Christ. That's good news. Acts chapter 16 tells us it's good news for all types of people. It's good news for a God-fearing lady who was at a prayer meeting on a riverside named Lydia. You would have looked at her life and said, she's good. She must be getting into heaven. Not until God opened her heart. Not until she came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But the good news was still for her. The good news was for a little girl. A little girl who was a prisoner. And yet it was good news for her. Set free. It was good news for someone who was considered scum of the earth. The worst of the worst. But it was good news for him. It's good news for you. no matter what your past sins, no matter what your circumstances, no matter the shadows that are on you. The great deliverance, it's found in Jesus Christ, and it's good news for you, for all who come to Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That's good news. That's great deliverance. As a session, we had the joy and the privilege of being able to listen to David last Sabbath day after church share his testimony of faith. It's good news for him. God opened his heart. This is good news for all types of people. There's great deliverance found in Jesus Christ. Amen.